knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
Well, my bright spot today is a little bit bittersweet, I suppose. But that is that this week, the world lost the bad guy.
Oh, yes.
Scott Hall passed away.
Yes, I read about that.
Obviously, not necessarily a bright spot that he died, but he was a wrestler who was always very, very exciting. I was grew up at just the right time and watched wrestling in such a way that the WCW and the NWO that Scott Hall was leading part of.
Oh, I remember.
Was terrifying to me.
That was the era when I watched wrestling. I had like 2 years where I was a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember Scott Hall. Yeah.
Yeah, him and Kevin Nash, the Outsiders, coming in and invading WCW, bringing Hollywood Hulk Hogan into
Hulk
the mix.
Shows up and everybody went, "Whoa!"
Everyone threw trash.
Everybody was
at the
like,
ring.
"Oh no, he can't be
furious.
His American flag and shit."
But my parents didn't let me watch wrestling when I was a kid, so there was sort of a forbidden aspect to it, and that made everything a little bit more sneaky, a little contraband. And I would go over to my friend's house and we would watch it. I'd sleep over at his place so we could watch like Monday Night Raw and WCW Nitro. There was an anarchic element to the invasion of the NWO and Scott Hall.
Sure.
Just the cool one. Mm-hmm. Kevin Nash, Big Sexy, wasn't cool.
Not cool.
He wasn't as cool. He was big.
He was a henchman. He was a henchman through and through.
But I think he thought he was cool.
Of course he did.
Scott Hall was cool and scary.
I assume all henchmen think they're cool, right? Otherwise, there's no reason to just follow blindly some asshole.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was many fond memories of watching him work and rest in peace.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you?
I mean, strangely enough, my bright spot, not as bittersweet, however, still somewhat nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember Adult Swim Toonami, when they used to run anime all the time.
Not really.
So they are bringing back Fooly Cooly for third and fourth season.
Zero idea.
And I can't begin to... I've described Fooly Cooly to you on at least four occasions.
In one ear or out the other.
Absolutely. Because when you start saying to people, okay, there's a giant iron, sometimes it turns into a manga, Fooly Cooly might just mean rubbing tits together, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the important part is that a woman hits a man in the face with a Rickenbacker bass and mechas come out of it that they then have to fight the universe with. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coming-of-age tale about a young boy experiencing puberty.
I look forward to hearing about this for the first time, for the fifth time in the future.
Yes,
I have
exactly.
No idea what you're talking about.
Exactly, but it is also one of the, if not the, maybe, greatest anime series of all time.
I feel like my reference point for Adult Swim is like when it was just C-Lab, Aqua Teen Hunger Force,
right.
And I think Family Guy.
Right. See, if you go a few hours later, you got Gundam Wing, you got Dragon Ball Z,
Sure. Man,
you got it all, buddy. That's the shit.
Well, I'm glad.
Cowboy Bebop.
Glad for you. So great.
Yeah.
Jordan, we have an episode to go over today.
Okay.
So Alex is still on a little bit of a breaky.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this on Thursday, so I'm not sure if he actually got back to studio today or whatever, but we'll get back to the present day on Monday. But for now, we are back not in the present. We're in the past. And today we actually delightful little bit of a request time travel episode. Keith reached out to me. His wife Laurel is celebrating a 40th birthday next week.
Oh, congratulations!
In the middle of next week.
Happy birthday!
In honor of that, and to celebrate, Keith thought it would be fun for us to go back and enjoy Alex Jones's 40th birthday.
Ooh.
And so we are going to be talking about February 11th, 2014.
Oh, no.
Alex's 40th birthday.
Oh, man.
It comes up once on the show that it's his birthday. One time.
It's very weird that this is, what, only a few months away from the invasion of Crimea.
It doesn't come up. Don't worry about that. No,
okay.
There's no witchery
I was
on that
say,
aspect.
If you're a witch, I'm going to be furious.
No. I am witchy, but my powers are limited.
Okay.
to some degree. So happy birthday, Laurel.
Happy birthday.
Not happy birthday to Alex,
and not to Putin either.
No.
Okay.
When's his birthday?
Probably around the same day.
Sure. we'll get down to this episode, but first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Galaxy, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Galaxy.
Thank you.
Loved your quest.
Next, a Dutchman who wonders why the Dutchman is called the Dutchman if he isn't Dutch. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I think that was about Rick Smits. Next, I went beyond the consciousness of God and all I got was this stupid t-shirt. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think that one was about Rick Smits.
Probably. I think he's all are about Rick Smits. Next, Rob at Lexus Loves Buttholes. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Yep. That was not about
Rick Smits. What?
That was not. It's by Rob.
Thank you.
Next, Jeezy Kableezy. Robert, when are you going to become a policy wonk? Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Occupied Texas. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank y'alls. All right, so we're going to we are just dropping in cold. We don't really know what's going on.
No idea.
We have no context for this.
Mm-mm.
Most of our past episodes that we've seen so far, like recently at least, have been 2003.
Right.
So it's deep in Alex's past. He's a very different broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other point of reference that's really fresh in our mind is 2022, 2021 Alex, where he's an unhinged lunatic.
Right. Right.
And so it's kind of interesting to get this in-between point. This is pre-Trump.
Right.
And
we haven't even figured out the four ways to learn yet.
No, he's being cagey about that.
Yeah.
But there is a list of five things on this episode. Not ways to learn.
Okay. I like lists.
But that will be a bit later in the episode. Here is an out-of-context drop, though, from today's show.
Other eye down hurt my stomach, made me hurt when I peed. This doesn't do that. But, man, how do you come up with all this?
Man, apparently iodine makes it hurt when Alex pees.
There's a product that makes it hurt when he pees?
No. Other iodine.
Than
the ones he's selling.
So so they made the doesn't hurt when you pee iodine.
Mm-hmm.
Or Alex had syphilis for a while.
I don't care to speculate necessarily. I will admit there is a failing in my research, and that is that I didn't look into it to see if it's a common side effect of taking iodine that hurts when
right.
you pee.
Oh, God, I was going
to
say.
I just think it's a weird thing for Alex to say.
I didn't look into it either. I just assumed he had gonorrhea.
So here is where we start, and Alex is on one right out the jump.
Out the gate.
Well, you heard that. There is Obama telling the French socialist president is completely above the law, and the entire French socialist leadership is on record having giant Swiss bank accounts that are tax exempt as they raise taxes on the middle class to 100%+ to claw back any savings that were kept back under the old 80%+ tax rate. And let's hear that one more time. Obama, I can do whatever I want. Best part about being president is I can do whatever I want while he's walking along talking to the French delegation and the French president.
All right, we're breaking protocol here. That's all right. That's the thing about being president. I can do whatever I want.
So, did he not know there was a shotgun mic on him, or did he know? No, he knew.
This is some real petty shit.
This is weak.
So what had happened is that Obama was accepting a state visit from then French President François Hollande, which began with a tour of Thomas Jefferson's home at Monticello. When he said that they were breaking protocol, that was in reference to wanting to go to the terrace to look at the view, which wasn't part of the planned tour.
Right, right.
Of course, because, you know, Obama joked about how he was the president, he could do whatever he wants. Alex takes this deadly seriously, as opposed to him joking around about not sticking to the bullet points of the tour.
Ugh.
Ridiculous.
Oh man. Wasn't it weird when the president had like an actual sense of humor that was not just like a solid sense of humor, but at times quite admirable. You know, like with a solid writing staff, he crushed it on those.
He had timing.
Yeah, he's got good timing. He had little things right there. And at no point in time did he say like, oh, the Mexicans are going to kill you. You know, like that was a good president for a while.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, we had a good stretch.
And there's an interesting aspect to this that it's just like the pettiest complaint being blown into like, aha, he admits he's a dictator.
Yeah, I know. That's how shitty it was to be a right winger like shitting all over Obama's. You had to be like, oh, look at his fucking suit. It's tan. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not fit to be president.
And then the flip comes when Trump becomes president and Alex accuses everyone else of doing basically the same game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, there absolutely was not tax rates over 100% in France in 2014. The highest tax band in their system was on people who made over 151,200 euros a year, and any income above that point was taxed at a rate of 45%. Holland had tried to usher in an experiment where businesses that pay salaries over €1 million per year would have to pay a 75% payroll tax, but it was widely unpopular, and it wasn't continued after the two-year timetable that was put in place for its experiment. I frequently see this being reported as a tax on people who make more than €1 million a year, but that isn't true. That was the original intent of Holland's presidency, but it was deemed punitive by the congressional court and it was thrown out. As it ever existed, for 2 years, this was a payroll tax imposed on businesses, not on the middle class, and it wasn't over 100%.
Right.
Looking back, it's interesting to see who The Guardian describes as putting the, quote, nail in the coffin on this tax. That honor goes to a young upstart who had just become France's economy minister, Emmanuel Macron.
God damn it!
Would be too surprised to hear Alex liking Macron for stuff like this back then.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's fun to see these villains in there.
They just keep popping back up.
Alex's villains in doing things that he would support.
Like, on the way to becoming the villain that he hates, too. Mm. Like, if Alex had jumped on early, maybe we'd all be in a different place.
Probably not.
Yeah, doubtful.
So anyway, there's some trends that are going on in 2014. Mm-hmm. I think Alex might have discovered hipsters.
Oh, no.
The chicest thing is to be like a hobo who doesn't work and doesn't take care of yourself. And women are, because the television tells them to, and women and men as well, imprint on whatever television says. So it says, throw yourself at the Biggest Loser. So the women just keep throwing themselves, believe me, I witnessed it in Austin, at the Biggest Losers they can in delusional mass psychosis, narcissism, and then they just throw themselves at loser after loser, the dirtier, the dumber, the bigger the loser, the better they are, the bigger the winner, the worse you are, and then the women just keep waiting to, like, find Valhalla because television said they would get it.
What?
And the chicest thing is hobo clothing and living in dumpsters. We've got a Leanne McAdoo report on that coming up. And not having air conditioning and not having money. And it's just so stylish. It's so cool. Oh, my gosh. Obama, our Lord and Savior. Barack Obama.
Wait, so that's Obama's fault?
I don't understand what the problem here is.
There's a lot of really stupid thoughts just sort of being woven together.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think is really fascinating about this is the way that Alex doesn't seem to take as much issue with the people dressing like hobos, the men dressing like hobos.
Oh, sure.
His problem seems to be that women are attracted to...
You should be fucking me! I'm big and loud and powerful. Why are you talking to those men who are soft?
Yeah.
Weak.
It does seem like the complaint is largely directed at women for being attracted to the thing Alex doesn't want them to be. And they must be being brainwashed by the TV, which is under the direction of Obama.
Of course. I don't want to say that people can't wear skinny jeans in the comfort of their own home. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, don't put it on my TV and tell women to be attracted to it, sir.
I understand it sort of intellectually, this generational confusion about aesthetics.
Right.
Changes.
Right.
I don't understand why you got to get so mad about
it. Like, legit, how far away from the 40-year-old virgin are we?
In terms of movies?
Yeah.
Probably quite a ways.
Yeah.
I think that might have come out quite a bit before 2014.
No idea.
Right.
all movies happened.
I don't want to ruin it, but there was actually a Mandela effect kind of thing for me on this episode about a movie that is similar to what you're experiencing with the 40-year-old virgin, I believe.
Okay.
But we'll get to that when we get to it.
All right.
For now, Alex has a gun fear story to bring up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Washington Times and others are reporting. Here's the headline. Gun owners beware. D.C. man faces jail for having empty shotgun shell. They SWAT team raid the successful businessman with no criminal record, including misdemeanors, pointed guns at him and his wife, roughed him up, pulled the 16-year-old out of the shower, tore the place apart. He kept his guns in another home outside D.C., but they found a spent shotgun case, shotgun shell, plastic, and they are charging him, and he faces multi-years in jail, at least a one-year incarceration, and D.C. says they're going to throw the book at him.
40-year-old virgin came out in 2005.
Oh, I was so close.
Yeah, so close.
I was so close.
So this clip, Alex is talking about a guy named Mark Witasek. And Alex is kind of leaving out some important details. Like, for instance, why was this guy's house searched? Obviously, the police were there, you know, they weren't there just trying to seek out an empty shotgun shell. There must have been a reason for them to be there.
You would think.
And, you know, it's a little suspicious. What's going on here?
Seems like there could be more to the story.
So Witasek was going through a divorce in 2012, and his estranged wife complained to the police on multiple occasions that he had threatened her with a gun. This led to two police visits, during both of which they found illegal ammunition in his possession.
Yeah.
The items found in the first visit weren't able to be brought into the case because the police didn't have a warrant, though Witasek did consent to a search of his house.
Sure.
Just throw it out. In D.C., only people with registered guns can possess ammunition. So the shotgun shell, along with a box of muzzleloader bullets, were a problem.
Right.
He couldn't own those.
Right.
Ultimately, he ended up getting sentenced to time served, being on firearm registry, and getting a $50 fine. All in all, this probably seems like a bit of an overreaction and a waste of people's time, but ultimately, it's probably good that the allegations of threats of murderous domestic violence were taken seriously. Threats like the ones alleged by Witasek's ex-wife are often ignored, and they lead to tragedies. Seems like a rare case where police acted, and
yeah.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
This wasn't actually the biggest problem that Witasek had to worry about, though. Also, as part of the fallout from his divorce, his ex-wife provided D.C. officials with some tax documents about Witasek's business, and they didn't look good.
That's not going to go well.
Nope. He got in some problems, some trouble with that.
Well, you know.
Anyway, the point here is that there's more to this story than the way Alex is reporting it. It's important when you're doing these kinds of gun martyrdom presentations that you present the central character as being as blameless as possible. There's no room for nuance because you need it to be black and white, an open and shut case where the person is having their guns taken for no reason and the state's actions are solely motivated by a tyrannical desire to take everyone's guns.
Yeah.
That's why when Alex does decide to touch on why the raid happened, here's how he puts it.
And DC says they're going to throw the book at him. All because a disgruntled family member dropped a dime on him. That's what tyrannies are like.
It was a disgruntled family member who dropped a dime, not an estranged wife in the middle of an ugly divorce who alleged this dude had threatened her multiple times with a gun. Recognizing that would cast too much of a shadow on this story and risk making the gun martyr not look as blameless as he needs to look for this kind of narrative to work. You don't want to deal with the realities of this stuff.
Mm-mm.
No way.
No.
No way. You can't let your audience know that this guy was accused of threatening his wife with a gun on multiple occasions and that's why the police came in the first place.
It sure seems like they should take his guns away. I mean, it's at the point where the real lesson of stories like they should be that guns shouldn't be outlawed. It should be outlawed for men to have guns, and women should have to hold a gun pointed towards a man's face in every interaction, because this is fucking nuts.
I mean, obviously, this is not a serious proposal.
I don't know. I don't think it's a terrible idea. It'd solve a lot of problems.
I think not all of them. I think in the real world, the fact that an allegation like this was made of, like, you know, this, my ex-husband threatened me with a gun.
Sure.
The fact that you do end up taking it seriously, you pay him a visit.
Totally.
I think things were carried out appropriately. And maybe it's not that big of a deal that he has a box of muzzle-loading bullets. Maybe that's not. Maybe that is fitting to just be like, hey, here's a $50 fine, and this is going to go in a record.
Sure.
Because, you know, on the off chance that someone else says that you threatened him with a gun,
sure,
we can now establish a pattern or
right,
something.
Right. And, well, I mean, I recognize that. I'm just a you know, the level of men having ammunition inside their homes with guns and then getting a divorce is a violent, violent affair. You know,
yeah,
it's just all too often.
You're talking like Alex's nightmare here.
I'm fine with that.
Discussing the intersection of masculinity and guns.
I want to be living in Alex's nightmare.
Fair enough. So in this next clip, Alex says something that I wish he would talk more about.
About 80% of countries and the nations, empires throughout history are hyper evil. That's a guesstimation, reading so much history. 8 times out of 10, they're really bad. The other 20%, it varies from bad to somewhat free. But most governments are tyrannies, and they just get worse and worse from there until everything collapses.
This clip is why Alex's show sucks. He's introduced a very bizarre position about the relative evilness of past governments and empires, but this is the extent of his conversation about it. I hear a clip like that, and all I want is more specifics. Like, what countries are in the 20% that weren't total evil tyrannies? What's the differentiating factor between them? It seems like this is a conclusion he's pretending to have reached after deep research, so I want to hear about what he's learned. But instead, all I get is this meaningless platitude that really is just an expression of Alex's opposition to the idea of government, though he's too cowardly to be an anarchist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you... Okay, okay. Let's just go down the fucking list, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bad governments versus non-tyrannical governments.
Uh-huh.
Where do we start?
Well...
0 BC, the Romans.
Uh-huh.
How'd they do?
Probably a tyranny.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I there's a part of me that worries that it's governments that were headed by people Alex deems white.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that worries that that's it.
Yeah.
That would be about 20% of the governments
I'm
he's
guessing,
aware of.
I'm guessing he's throwing the United States government in there.
Well, evil tyranny
I
now.
Doubt, well, sure. I
not,
doubt
not
he's...
Not in the 50s.
I mean, he's not willing to throw the Nazis in there as one of the good 20% just yet.
Probably not. This is 2014.
Right.
I don't know, but the fact that he doesn't elaborate on it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It makes me mad. I want to know. I'm interested in his thought, and he doesn't give me that thought.
Why would you say 80%? Is there something you're basing that off of?
It's a guesstimation.
Sure, but if you're going to guesstimate, what are you basing that off? Did you read a
deep
book?
Deep research.
What?
Reading so much about history.
How many? There are a million billion governments in history.
I just want specifics.
Okay.
And you don't get them.
No.
So the National Guard is out of pocket.
I mean, sure. I'm fine with that. Sure.
National Guard trains to fight anti-government Second Amendment supporters. That's
uh-huh.
a quote.
Yeah.
And they train where the school teachers
cut to
are
January
conservative 6th. Gun owners, so they bioweapon the town and start shooting everyone. And they're training as if this is the new scenario. This article, Drudge links to the Media Trackers article that's a big article, but the original is WSAZ out of Ohio, and then the Examiner says feds identify Second Amendment activists as terrorists. Yeah. And what's really going on is the scripting. This is what a re-education camp looks like on a mass scale, where in the dramas, the TV shows, the movies, the cartoons, the bad guys, the child molesters, the meth dealers, the child kidnappers, the torturers, the devil worshippers, the people that are going to blow the school up, are all the gun-owning patriots that like George Washington. Literally, if you watch television, you see it. It's just everywhere. Bone-chilling. Now, this was going on secretly under Clinton when we discovered it and got classified secret documents and made national news with it. Now, and I've told you this the last 5 years, it's operational. They've gone public with it. Do you know what that means? They're not doing this behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen. They're rolling it out in almost every drill now of attacks on shopping malls and attacks on schools. And we've covered this, you know, the AP's covered it. where the homeschoolers in Michigan, all over the state, they call out the elementary kids, blow up a bus or a car that Homeland Security pays for, scare the kids, don't even tell them it's a drill, and then have people in camo come up and say, I'm for homeschooling and the Second Amendment, I'm going to blow your brains out. And the kids get totally traumatized, and the police go, we only know about the ones where the parents freak out and sue. We're sorry, won't do it again, there's a federal grant.
So the Michigan story we've talked about in the past, so
yeah.
I'm going to hold off on that.
I remember that one.
The story that Alex is talking about at the beginning of this clip that's inspiring all of this is out of Portsmouth, Ohio, where the Ohio Army National Guard 52nd Civil Support Unit, in conjunction with local first responders, held a drill where the scenario was, quote, two school employees who are disgruntled over the government's interpretation of the Second Amendment plot to use chemical, biological, and radiological agents against members of the local community. The motivation behind this specific scenario was to maintain awareness that not all terrorism is foreign-based, and that domestic terrorism does exist. That's the reason they used that as part of the scenario.
Right.
Alex let something really interesting slip towards the end of that clip, though. He's saying that all the training exercises use right-wing Second Amendment supporters as the villains in their scenario because this is about training the police and the public to look at them as evil terrorists. But then Alex admits that he only knows about the exercises where the parents freak out and sue or something.
Right.
Alex doesn't know anything about this topic except the cases that he sees reported in the media that he consumes. He reads exclusively extreme right-wing news sources, and they only report on these training exercises when there's an opportunity to create right-wing victimhood narratives. And thus, the image that Alex gets from the media he consumes is that every or almost every exercise involves branding patriots as terrorists.
Right.
But that's not true at all. A ton of the scenarios that the National Guard groups do every year have to do with natural disasters, where there's not even a human villain involved. But beyond that, if you go through their press release archive, you can find plenty of examples from the time frame that Alex is talking about here, even that don't fit his mold. In August 2013, the New York National Guard ran a scenario exercise where they had a chemical fallout, but it wasn't due to any terrorism. It was because of an accidental train derailment. Alex probably didn't hear too much about that or how...
No.
People were scared.
Not important.
No, probably not.
No.
In July 2013, the North Carolina National Guard did an exercise that was based on training their rapid response team and involved dealing with protesters who were having a sit-in at a water treatment facility. The fake protest group they had in that one was called the Pink Panthers, and they were very much coded as a left-wing organization. Alex probably didn't see that reported in Drudge, and so he doesn't know it exists.
Not important.
In 2014, the South Carolina National Guard did an exercise called Objective Indigo, which had to do with terrorist groups taking hostages, but they weren't right-wing patriot gun owner groups or anything. Another example is the yearly exercise that NORTHCOM runs called Vibrant Response, where a simulated nuclear attack happens, and first responders practice responding to things that are likely to come up. In that scenario, there isn't even usually a need for a specific person or group behind the bombing because the focus is on the immediate response, like dealing with the wounded and what have
right.
you. There's no real need for a larger storyline. Sometimes people running these exercises add a villain, you know, to give it more flavor.
Yeah, sure.
But it doesn't necessarily always happen. To Alex's perception, it very well may seem like every scenario-based exercise that law enforcement or the National Guard does involves maligning people like himself, but that perception isn't based on reality. It's the product of him taking in only extreme right-wing news, where the only time he ever hears a story reported about scenario training exercises, it's someone crying bloody murder about how a fictitious right-wing domestic terror group is part of the exercise in question. All the other ones, scenarios based around natural disasters or accidents, scenarios where the threat is a left-wing group, scenarios where the villain is a nondescript foreign terror group, all of these don't exist in Alex's reporting because he doesn't know or doesn't care that they exist. The media that he's taking in drives home the message he wants to hear, and he in turn repeats and solidifies that message to his audience as if it's the product of research when it's just regurgitating bullshit.
Sure.
Links that he skimmed on Drudge.
Sure, but I mean, at the same time, there is another option, which is that it has been an immensely effective strategy for it, even the slightest fictional hint of gun ownership being questioned,
right,
to shriek bloody murder as loud as you possibly can. Like, the MIAC document was so reasonable and borderline restrained of like, mm-hmm. well, you know, they killed the most cops ever, but what, you know, there are buds. That kind of thing. And they freaked the fuck out over
it. It's true.
Like, even the slightest notion. And it's effective because it's kept us from... I mean, it's illegal to study how many people cops kill every day. You know, like, it's illegal. Mm-hmm. That kind of shit. Like, they're good at it.
Yeah, and I think actually even in this next clip, Alex kind of expresses the similar thing that you're talking about. This idea of, like, we have to make a fucking huge deal out of
everything
this.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going on everywhere, and now it's on the TV everywhere, and it's in sitcoms and dramas and children's shows. Jakari Jackson had a report on it last year, where he shows all these cartoons, Green Lantern, the new Super Friends, all of it, all these shows where the militia's like wearing tri-corner hats going, we believe in America and the right to bear arms. We're going to blow up the dam and kill everybody in the town. This is mind control. They are scripting that we're the terrorists, folks. And let me tell you what they're going to do. If we don't get them off balance and make a big deal out of this, everybody's saying, oh, Obama's done. He's been damaged. He's a dead duck politically. You know, he's a lame duck. No, they're not. This is the most dangerous time in American history, undoubtedly on every front. Folks, that's why he's running around saying, got caught on video in France saying, I can, quote, do whatever I want. In fact, let's just play that clip right now in case people just joined us. This is out right now from the Weekly Standard. It's also up on Infowars.com. Here it is.
Can't stop playing that clip.
Bah!
Obama wasn't in France. He was at Alex's buddy Thomas Jefferson's place in Monticello.
Right.
But he was with the French president, so I guess Alex got confused.
Anywhere the French president is France.
Technically, he's like a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Absolutely.
But it's for like, Le Monde Francophone.
He is his own embassy. Everywhere he stands is foreign soil.
Mais oui.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, you know, that mentality there of like, we got to make a big deal out of everything, or else people will recognize that there's a point to this.
Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy. It's so crazy listening to him freak out about how dare they did it after the sixth, where you're like,
mm-hmm.
Also, it's
funny to be like, listening to this and he's like, this is the most dangerous time in American history. It's like, all right, wait a few years, bud. This is,
dude, yeah. I would go back to 2014 in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would love to spend
safe as shit.
I would love to spend my time critiquing his dumb arguments about cartoons.
Oh, that God, would be so good.
That'd be much more fun than the reality of the world that he covers now.
Yeah.
So I think that clip also illustrates something really strange in Alex's worldview, and that is a deep desire to impose harsh censorship on people who don't agree with him. I didn't watch the short-lived and not very well-received Green Lantern animated series he's talking about, but I know well enough that the premise of the character, and I know that the villains in it weren't Second Amendment patriot types who wear tri-corner hats.
I mean, unless they were all yellow.
It could be Red Lantern coats. Yes.
You got there.
Can't believe I landed it.
You got there. It wasn't a pretty landing, but it landed.
Nope.
That's what's important.
Call me...
Anyone you walk away from, that's a good joke,
call
right?
Call me the Sully Sullenberger of jokes. Wasn't pretty, but we got down. So I would guess that there's like one episode of that show where some villain of the week is similar enough to Alex's militia weirdo identity, and he can claim that it's an attack on him. And this is completely unacceptable to Alex. Any time the characteristics he associates with himself are used to depict a villain in a show, that's secretly the government pre-programming the people to be against him. It's basically an attack. So what's the solution to that? I guess the only thing that makes sense for Alex to support would be making a rule that villains in TV shows and cartoons and books and movies can't have any characteristics that make them similar to right-wing extremists or gun and militia weirdos.
Absolutely not. They can only be the heroes.
Right. Otherwise, it's government
pre-programming. Yeah, absolutely.
Because this isn't like censorship, really. Because, you know, depicting characters that like this, it's not a creative act or a function of speech. It's a premeditated attack by the globalists. Alex just wants the globalists to stop attacking him. And the only way that can be done is by banning any negative depictions of people like him.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
That makes, yeah, obviously.
His ideas are stupid.
When the emperor has no clothes, you kill anybody who says you don't have any clothes. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
That story is dumb. What should have happened is the emperor's people should have just killed that kid. And then everybody else would have been like, you're right, you do have clothes.
Great clothes.
You got
buddy.
The best clothes, man. Yeah. Your clothes. Whoa.
So this is all like pre-scripting, right?
Yeah.
And Alex makes it makes a terrible, terrible metaphor here.
This isn't a game. And they're scripting it so when they blow stuff up and release bioweapons, you name it, blow up dams, you name it, sky's the limit, people will already believe, yeah, they kept saying these guys were going to do it. This is the most obvious frame-up I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this is like if your neighbor ran around for a week saying, you know, Bill's a cocaine dealer, Bill's a cocaine dealer, and then, you know, you call the cops come pull over Bill, and there's the cocaine in the back, right where Bob, the neighbor, said it was.
What?
Any smart police would say, you know, how did you know about that? Oh, I don't know. I just
so
knew.
No police would say
let's take you in for questioning. It's so obvious the frame-up is going on.
So Bob planted the drugs. I guess another explanation for knowing where Bill is keeping his cocaine is because, I don't know, let's just say that Bill does a daily radio show where he works really hard to scare the shit out of his audience and then kind of poke them closer and closer to thinking that maybe keeping their cocaine in a certain place is the solution to all their problems. Maybe Bill has a weird track record of denying that people like himself are capable of keeping their cocaine in a specific location, and that any time there's any clear instances of someone like him stashing cocaine in that specific location, it was a globalist setup. Maybe at that point, Bob would get a sense that maybe Bill likes to keep his cocaine in that location.
I mean,
seems like a strong, suspicious kind of thing.
Maybe Bob decided to listen to the same radio show and bought the same book, Where to Hide Your Cocaine.
Right. Where not.
Where not to hide your cocaine.
Anyway, this is kind of the larger point of some of Alex's shit. He would love to ban all criticism of people like himself, but because that's just not possible and his brand doesn't really allow him to openly advocate for that, these TV shows get used to preemptively declare that anyone who is similar to Alex, has similar beliefs to Alex, possibly enjoys Alex's work, anyone like that who's accused of committing a violent act is just a globalist setup to make Alex and the Patriots look bad. That's why they did the TV shows to begin with, so they could pull off this tarnishing of Alex's character, which seems like a lot of work.
Of course.
For very little payoff, when you could tarnish his character just by listening to his stupid show.
Yeah.
It's smart of Alex to do stuff like this, though, particularly at this point, because a few months after this episode is recorded, Jared and Amanda Miller, two big InfoWars fans, killed three people, including two cops, in Las Vegas. In May 2012, Jared had written a post on InfoWars' website. They had a bit of a message board previously.
Sure.
Don't do that anymore. Probably smart.
Smart.
But on this message board, he had posted a blog post titled, quote, "The Police, To Kill or Not to Kill," where he discussed being on probation for selling weed. He was having difficulty in his life and was particularly concerned with the idea that the police would show up to his house for a search, most likely because he was not allowed to own guns, but had
a lot of guns.
His post strongly mirrors a lot of Alex's ideas, too. Quote, "I do not wish to kill police. I understand that most of them believe they're doing the right thing. Yet I will not go to jail, because I have not committed a crime. I would rather die than be labeled as a criminal. Let them call me a terrorist. Let them label me a fanatic, some nut job. I know the truth and so does God. I'm sure our founding fathers were labeled as such. Call me a radical. I'll wear that badge with pride, because America is a radical idea."
Our founding fathers were such. They were terrorists.
Well, that's what I'm one of the most repeated points from Alex's documentaries is an out of context drop of someone at a government seminar saying the founding fathers were terrorists.
Right.
Which Alex uses as a claim that the government hates anyone who believes in the Constitution. And that message is echoed in this guy's post. The post itself concludes, quote, "It is our duty as American citizens to stand against tyranny, to stand against corruption at all levels. How did this happen? The patriots like me could be resting under the boot of tyrants, and as I plead for help from my fellow Americans, they just walk on by, all the while thinking at least it's not happening to me. Yet the sad thing is, it's happening to them. So do I kill cops and make a stand when they come to get me? I would prefer to die than sit in their jail when I have done nothing to hurt anyone." Alex knows the reality that there's a not insignificant part of his audience that's like that, that are right on the edge of committing violent acts. Thankfully, most of them don't end up following through with them, but Alex does need a built-in excuse for the ones that do, and he builds that excuse by complaining about TV shows being predictive programming that are set up to make it look like people who are his fans would do things
right.
Like kill cops.
Right.
And, of course, after Jared and Amanda killed those three people, Alex immediately called it a false flag, because that's the payoff for the work that he's doing here in February, being able to feign ignorance and, whenever your audience commits acts of domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
It's the entire game.
Yeah, and the idea that it would matter is silly whenever, after, like, if you went and rewatched Captain Planet, the evil rat villain is left of center to Nancy Pelosi. Like, that's the level of if they were really, if cartoons were helping out, we would be in a different world right now. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And I think that there are left-wing villains in shows.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And I don't remember ever taking offense to that. Even if it's something that I do understand.
Yeah.
That there are left-wing terrorist groups. A lot of them, even like animal liberation groups.
Well, I mean, 12 Monkeys.
Environmental groups.
Yeah, 12 Monkeys. Wasn't Brad Pitt supposed to be freeing the animals? That's ostensibly left-wing terrorism.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And I understand that. And I don't take such offense at the notion of that being just sort of a reality that people are fine to discuss.
Yeah, my lesson wasn't like, oh, their ideals were wrong. It was like, bad plan.
I don't think that the reality and the discussion of their existing left-wing terrorism, I don't think that makes me feel like people are saying that everyone on the left is a terrorist.
No.
And that seems to be the way Alex engages with the world, which is childish and really
dumb. We have the FBI to make you believe everybody on the left is a terrorist.
Fine. So Alex gets to talking about his old buddies.
Okay.
The John Birch Society.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, Ron Paul supporters. Yeah, oh, they're terrorists, police. Go ahead and arrest them. I saw that in Law Enforcement magazine years ago. It said, you know, they got to get us out of the UN sticker from the John Birch Society. Go ahead and take them in. And chiefs, you support them. We're sure there's something they're doing wrong. Statistically, folks, John Birchers are probably the lowest crime rate of anybody out there.
Really?
Knows that, who studies history, criminology. I mean, I can't think of more upstanding people than the John Birchers I've known in my life. I'm not even part of the group. But they list them as evil terrorists, basically. The more upstanding you are, the more you won't sell out, the stronger you are, the more committed you are, of course you're listed as an enemy by this criminal takeover.
I'd love for Alex to present that magazine article about preemptively arresting Birchers, because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, I would be surprised.
I'd love for him to just show me that. Also, on the point of whether or not Birchers are the most upstanding people, I have some points of contention. If you're talking about like financial crimes, then the membership of the John Birch Society makes up some of the most criminal cadre of people.
I was going to say, if you talk about wage theft alone, the Koch brothers have stolen trillions of dollars.
And so many other manufacturing interests
just
that were
absurd.
Part of the group. But even beyond that, if you look at some of their founding members, he had some shady things. Like you mentioned, Fred Koch is an absolute historical monster, and according to Jane Meyer's book, Dark Money, he profited from building oil refining capabilities for Hitler in the 30s.
Hell yeah, he did.
Another founding member was Revilo P. Oliver, who was forced to step down from membership in the JBS in 1966 because he was such an ardent white nationalist and anti-Semite that he made them look bad.
Dude.
He would go on to be a part of the National Alliance and be an inspiration for William Luther Pierce when he was writing the Turner Diaries, which is essentially the Bible for white supremacist terrorists. Also, Pierce himself was a Bircher for a while before he needed to seek out something stronger.
Yeah.
Willis Cardo, the complete piece of shit anti-Semite racist founder of the Liberty Lobby, was a Bircher, as was Tom Metzger, the neo-Nazi founder of the White Aryan Resistance and one-time Grand Wizard of the Klan. The John Birch Society actually is 100% just good, upstanding people. If you pretend all the examples of really high-level monsters don't exist, all the examples of real serious shitheads and influential shitheads.
Yeah,
you're not just talking about like some like what? Oh, there was a racist in the group who posted bad things on Twitter.
No.
Tom Metzger, Revilo P. Oliver, William Luther Pierce.
Yeah.
These are problem people.
Yeah. These are people who are like, why wouldn't we overthrow a government for the people just so I can get more money? I want some stuff.
No. They're That's evil. Some of them.
Evil
no,
shit.
No. That's some of the businessier
right,
folks.
Right.
There's also just some, hey, I want a white country.
I do. Well, yeah.
Who strangely gravitated very strongly to the John Birches. I can't imagine why that is.
Yeah. I do appreciate that the rich have so overwhelmingly destroyed and dominated our media that they're like that we're all like, oh man, shoplifting is wrong, and then John Birch Society filled with the nicest people in the world. Sure, they're almost 40% responsible for climate change by themselves.
I have to crunch some numbers on that.
Yeah,
I got to consult an actuary. So look, Alex has some strong words here.
Because they're scared of you. These crooks are scared of men and women who have honor in their hearts and who want freedom. And we're being listed as the terrorist. I am listed as someone who wants violence and a revolution on MSNBC and CNN. Because I tell them, I know you're preparing for war with us, and if you try it, 1776 will commence again. Those aren't just words. We're taking action.
I'm sure that's exactly how Jared Miller felt, and it's essentially his entire explanation for why he ended up killing three people a few months after this episode. He's really clear in his post that he feels like his constitutional rights have been violated, and that if he fights back, they'll call him a radical, but they only call him a radical because he's standing up for what's right. He never says that the idea of killing cops is his way of commencing 1776, but he might as well. To be clear, I don't think that there's a direct line between Alex's comments on this specific episode and Jared's rationalization for why it was necessary for him to kill three people. I'm saying that the consistent content on Alex's show and the editorial perspective as a whole informed Jared's rationalization for why it was necessary for him to kill three people, and this clip is just one of a litany of examples that fade into the extremist background.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it is one of those things where you're trained to think, oh, there's an inciting element to Alex's. Mm-hmm. Oh, something he said must have incited somebody.
Like an A to B thing.
Right. When in reality, you've just created such void of fucking empty violence that there's nowhere else for it to go.
Yeah, and yeah. It's kind of alarming. I was looking at Alex's site, obviously, like, you know, as he's been on a breakie and trying to see what's going on. And I noticed that one of their new URLs is blackpilled.news.
Oh, great.
And it's like, you guys are playing into something that, whether or not it's intentional, it's like that void that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is like, well, now you're going to try and create mass shootings out of it or something.
Okay, I would go with breaking news, electric boogaloo.
Mm.
That's not terrible, right?
I think you'd have to go with like
electric boogaloo.news.
.news is kind of like what is branding.
Right. That's fair.
A lot of these. What is it like? One of them was like tomorrowsnews.news. This is bad.
That's not good.
No, you can't do this.
No, you got to figure that out.
So we know that Alex loves them constitutional sheriffs.
Loves them.
He has a little story about one of them.
Yeah, I do like the sheriff of Liberty County, Florida. He read the statute on air with us. I read the statute when he got arrested. The sheriff. And it said if someone's going to or from work or transporting money, they can have a concealed firearm in the vehicle for their security without a permit. But if you feel that they were transporting it outside of that, it's written where they can written. It's a bad statute. He said, listen, you arrested this guy with no criminal record for a gun coming from his work. Let him go. He said to his deputies, you want to carry guns off duty too, don't you? You like, I mean, let him go. Get rid of that fake report. They arrested him. The governor tried to make sure he went to jail. The jury, no building. The jury said not guilty.
So this is about Nick Finch, who was just elected sheriff of Liberty County in 2013. He decided that he didn't like that someone was arrested for a concealed carry violation of a concealed loaded firearm, so he unilaterally had him released.
To which he replied, I am the law!
Right.
Yeah.
This led to him being arrested on an accusation of tampering with an arrest record, and Alex actually is correct. The jury found him not guilty, and he was ultimately reinstated to his position as sheriff. This whole thing made Finch something of a hero in the constitutional sheriff community.
Sure.
The problem is that actions have consequences, and as it turns out, sometimes those consequences are really bad. Floyd Eugene Parrish was the man who Finch unilaterally released on the concealed carry charge in 2013. And in 2016, Parrish got into an argument with someone at his house and murdered him with a gun. Oh, well, it probably won't get covered on InfoWars. So it kind of like it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was later.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying that something in the past then leads to something in the future, and that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Only the now happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
Yep. There are never any indications of things.
No. It'd be like saying that foreign policy decisions from 30 years ago somehow have an effect on foreign policy decisions now. That's just crazy.
It's just weird that this guy, Finch, the sheriff, overstepped his authority in a very brazen way in order to get one guy out of prison for a concealed carry violation. And the right wing really turned him into a hero about it, and then they sort of just dropped the story, and a few years later the guy who he unilaterally let out of prison, right, murdered a guy.
Right. Right, right, right.
It's just weird.
Well, if there was anything I remember...
It's kind of a counter-argument to the whole thing, right? The fact that he went on to murder somebody.
You know, you bring up all of these examples, and you think it doesn't change the truth, which is that everyone should have a gun all the time on them, pointed at everybody else, and if you're going to do an argument, you should fire.
One in your boot.
And absolutely one in your boot.
You have an extra one in your boot.
Totally.
Derringer.
Yeah.
I want to stress this, mm-hmm, and this is an experiment, an experience that I find fascinating. It's uniform. I cannot think of a counterexample of this. Every single sheriff who's ever been brought up on Alex's show, you look into them a little bit, and there's something real fucked up.
Yeah, they're nutbags.
It is one of the truisms of researching InfoWars, is that if someone's a sheriff, they're a mess.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, in order to be a constitutional sheriff, your thoughts have to begin with the place the Founding Fathers loved giving unilateral authority to one person.
The highest law in the land.
That's what the Founding Fathers, mm-hmm, looking at King George, thought, no. We need one in every city, in every state,
no,
baby.
No King George, Sheriff of Nottingham.
Sheriff of Nottingham, baby. That's how we do it.
But like, I think that you have like your Richard Max,
sure,
and your Joe Arpaio's,
right,
and those sorts. And they're like the higher profile folk.
Right. Well, you got the dude from Milwaukee.
There's people all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about David, the guy with the funny hat.
Yeah. Dude with the funny hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a monster.
They're like, I'm talking about even like low end guys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about even like completely forgettable, never, mm-hmm, a big media name sheriff. They're still across the board fucked up.
Yeah.
If they're brought up on InfoWars as a hero, they're a mess.
Nutbags.
So we're in 2014 now, and there's some things that are different than the present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alex is in the midst of figuring out how much he owes for, you know, losing these Sandy Hook cases,
right,
in the present day.
Right.
But in 2014, those fears were not in his mind. And so he was really, really proud of Dan Bondi.
Oh, no.
And the reason they'll come after us when they stage a false flag, and I know that, is they know we've got reporters and myself and auxiliary reporters around the country that are going to go to their press conferences. When they stage a Boston bombing or an event, we're going to have our people there in hours. We're going to expose the drills, the setup. We're going to get the photos the FBI says don't look at. They had Secret Service, when Obama wasn't even there, come and threaten Dan Bondi with all sorts of bodily harm if he kept asking questions in the press conference about the drill. And the FBI looked at the media and they said, you do not talk to this man or look at his photos. And the media literally saluted, except a few national media come over and said,
oh,
we know
God,
it's a drill. They're killing people. They're finding them dead in the rivers. Man, you got a lot of courage. People can make jokes about people like Bondi because he's a real normal guy and everything is, you know, up there with his East Coast accent. But he's a real guy who's got courage. Not once, not twice, but three times to have feds come up and start bumping into him going, you better watch it, punk. You know something's going to happen. He said, fine, do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to ask the questions. He's not a coward.
Wow, Bondi sounds a lot like you.
Oh.
I think you're talking about yourself here as opposed
like
to the actual reality of Dan Bondi. I do love the image, though, of like the people being like, you don't pay attention to this man.
Don't look at those pictures.
Yeah.
No. I want one time for the entire press corps to stand up and salute.
Yeah.
What kind of lunatic world is that?
I mean, look, we covered this whole time period of the Boston bombing, and like I've watched those videos, and for the most part, everybody is fucking annoyed with Dan Bondi being there and acting like a total asshole.
He's just a shithead.
Yeah, because the city is in a state of acute grieving and terror.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared. There's a bomber on the loose. And you have this guy grandstanding and trying to turn it into a PR stunt,
mm-hmm,
for a dickhole guy in Texas.
Yep.
You know, like, it's such a distasteful thing.
Yeah.
And you can see people not like, oh my God, we're so scared of the information you're presenting.
No.
It's just, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
That's what's going on there.
Oh, totally. No, the authorities weren't mad. They were just annoyed. Everybody else there was like, God, if I could just beat this guy up,
well, but and
I would fucking do it.
If there was an element of madness or anger, it is totally warranted because functionally what his disrupting of this press conference is doing is making it more difficult for the officials to communicate with the public
yeah.
when providing that information to the public is an essential piece of trying to make people feel safe,
yeah.
Trying to navigate this really difficult period. And so, you know, the functional, the effect of Badandi's action is actually impeding their ability to govern appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, he's walking in there with the express purpose of exploiting a tragedy at the expense of everyone else there.
And I think people there got it to some extent.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out once he starts being a real shithead.
So anyway, he's a hero to Alex.
Sure.
He's proud of him back
then. The greatest.
This next clip doesn't really have much to do with anything, but it's a bit sexist and confusing.
Okay.
And so I decided to keep
those
it
are
in.
Two good things.
Yeah.
They've got people where there's a backpack on the ground. I mean, I've been at the airport before and walked off with my bags to get a coffee, and people are like, hey, your bags. I'm like, Starbucks is 10 feet. I know. My crew's sitting right by the bag, lady. It's always a woman. Nothing against women, but they're the ones that are more congenial in tribal situations to try to comply and be nice people. The problem is you got evil running the country. And repeatedly, I have had one time at Austin Bergstrom, I got up to go get some barbecue. I mean, some utensils for my barbecue. And I was waiting to fly out, and a woman again went, sir, don't leave your bag. And it was literally 15 feet to the paper towels and utensils. This woman is shaking in fear that there's terrorists everywhere when the government runs the terrorists publicly on record. And that's all out in the open now.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
What?
The problem is that somebody is warning you that you left your bag unattended. Like, it might be a thing where, like, your bag could get stolen.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to just be about a fear of terrorism.
No, I was trying to get on a flight, and I made it through security. I made it through everything. I got about four steps away from standing on the plane when I realized that I had forgotten my bags.
Horrible.
And I'd left them in there. So I ran back through the whole fucking place, screaming, just like, you know how I am.
Right. That doesn't really help in a situation like that.
Ah, but in this one it did, because everybody was so confused and shocked by it that mm-hmm. they just let me grab my bag and then get right back on there. But I would have been much happier if somebody was like, hey, you forgot your bag.
Right.
That would have been nice.
I mean, like, obviously, for very clear reasons, airports have a policy that unattended baggage is treated as suspicious.
You've never been in an airport without them saying, don't fuck around with unattended bags.
We can't, as an airline or an airport, risk not treating unattended bags
right.
as suspicious.
Exactly.
Because the legal ramifications and the lawsuits that would come out of that are almost comical. And
yeah.
So someone saying, like, hey, you're leaving your bag here, someone might come and take it from the airlines.
Totally.
The airport might take it because they can't leave it unattended.
Absolutely.
So this is so weird. He's actually describing courtesy.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's mad about it and
just
turning
it
into a sexist complaint.
Yeah, somehow he's mad because women are quote-unquote more congenial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Well, that's just his Stockholm Syndrome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah, but also, shout out to the salt lick at the Austin Bergstrom Airport. So cool that you could get barbecue at the airport. And it's not bad. Pretty good. I got it the last time I was flying back from Austin.
Yeah.
I went for the depot.
Yeah.
I'll probably be back before too long down to visit my parents, get some more.
Yeah.
I will get salt lick.
There's no reason not to.
I was thinking about ordering a bottle of the sauce.
Oh.
I didn't do it.
I was going to say, they don't deliver this far.
No, but you can order it. They ship. You can get it.
All right.
But it only comes in like a gift pack.
Ah,
that was a problem for me.
That's trouble.
Anyway, Alex has another story about how him and his buddies are all oppressed.
And we've got to make this break into the media and have a serious talk about this. I mean, remember what came out last year? We first broke it. Leaked to us, actually, out of a PSYOPs group. I mean, I'll just say it because they're all being tracked. They know it. They're not in it. They don't care. Out of Fort Hood, where they said the evangelical Christians are criminals. You're not to give money or go to one of their churches or be part of the Tea Party, or you will be called before the man and court-martialed.
Yeah,
Fox
get them. Court-martial,
okay,
regular
the
people.
The Army said, we're going to stop that now. Man, I mean, imagine. This is like a Soviet takeover, folks. This is the real deal ahead of them going operational, and then all hell's going to break loose forever, basically. The end of our way of life, the end of prosperity, dead citizens, dead police, dead military, hell on earth. I mean, this is a nightmare situation where the globalists play us off against each other.
So when Alex says PSYOPs groups gave him this information, I'm guessing that means Steve Pachanik.
Right.
I take his sourcing that seriously, which is not at all.
Yeah.
So that story seems really extreme, but for what it's worth, I can actually find a number of stories about this on Fox, the Washington Times, and even some more, like, even less credible right-wing sources. Then they report on this alleged meeting at Fort Hood where soldiers were told they can't donate to tea parties or evangelical Christians. The problem is that after these claims came up, an internal investigation began at Fort Hood, and they found that this whole story was fake.
Ah, that's no good.
The outcome of the investigation wouldn't be known until October 2013, though, and by that point, Alex and his weirdo friends had months of free time to run with this completely fake story, which was accepted as truth by the audience, and, like, who cares? The truth has come out. We're here in February 2014, but who cares?
Nope.
The fake version is still true on InfoWars.
You got it.
You know, it started a feeling.
Once the cement dried before the investigation came out, it was all over.
Nothing you can do. Anyway, Alex goes to some calls. He wants to take calls from military and police because he wants to know about these drills. These drills
are
all being run to demonize the Patriots,
of them, right.
And so he gets a call from one guy, and he wants to know, like, hey, man, you ever do one of these drills? And obviously the answer is supposed to be yes.
Yeah, of course the answer is yes.
It's not.
Oh.
Well, let me ask you this. When you were in, before you got out a year ago, were you ever part of these drills? Because I've been to them that are public, where they train to fight guys that literally have beards and wear John Deere hats. Basically, they train to fight Hank Williams Jr. Were you ever part of that, or did you ever hear about any of those drills?
I was never a part of those drills, but we did have a company come in from, they were doing a video for West Point, and they actually asked some of us to go and work with this film crew and stuff. Because we have a large National Guard base about 10 minutes from my house where my unit used to be at. And we had this little training town that was out there in the middle of the woods. And we'd go out there and they'd make videos of us kicking down doors and all sorts of other stuff for training videos. But I was never part of an actual drill.
Exactly, and West Point is now publicly training, but the main enemy is the Tea Party. That's in Forbes, Associated Press, you name it. But the AP reports it like it's a good thing. Thank God the Pentagon's going to smash people that don't want to turn their guns in and have the state run their kids. Go ahead.
So you see the way that Alex has to pivot because the answer is no.
Yeah.
And the thing that the guy is describing is a completely benign...
Oh, and a very boring story on top of that.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
It's certainly more boring than Alex is like, oh my God, I went out to one of these... They were trying to kill Bo Cephas.
Totally. Yeah.
They were training to take down Hank Williams Jr.
Way better. Instead of just being like, no, we did some videos one time.
Well, they were concerned... So they were doing this training exercise, right?
Yeah.
And everything was fine because they were just going after this one bearded guy.
Sure.
But then all of his rowdy friends came over.
Right.
And then, oh my God, all hell broke loose.
You know, I trained to fight Hank Williams Jr. for a while.
Is that right?
Yeah. Charity boxing match.
Oh.
Yeah, we were going to do it.
Did you get any, like, advertisements tattooed on you?
No, but I had a specialist study as fighting style. Uh-huh. I wanted to make sure that I was prepared for... Amazing left hook.
Okay,
it's crazy.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Alex has some information, or I should say, he has some claims of information.
Okay.
I talked to an active duty Navy SEAL that's friends of the family. I'll leave it at that. Weeks after it happened, I've had family of people that died in the helicopter that was blown up on saying they know it was set up to kill their family and they were killing. The Navy SEALs were sent in on a bin Laden body double. We even know the guy's name. And now, today, they've come out, and it turns out the Pentagon claimed they had photos of it and video and all this stuff. And then, quote, when they were ordered to declassify it, it was, quote, all destroyed. It was fake.
Oh, man, that's nuts that Alex can definitively prove that the killing of bin Laden was fake, and even has the name of the body double they used, but weirdly... isn't actually able to produce that evidence and never says the body double's name.
It would be weird not to say the body double's name.
Sure. This is a part of one of Alex's big strategies that he uses to pretend that he has more information than he actually does. It's very exciting to think that Alex knows this body double's name, but it's only exciting as long as he doesn't say the name. As long as that stays the status quo, it's entirely believable that Alex does have that information. You can't prove it or disprove it if Alex doesn't say anything concrete. It's just Schrodinger's bullshit.
Actually, I do know who the body double was.
Who's that?
Saddam Hussein.
Oh.
They do a thing now where the last one they assassinate, they just hang on to until the next one they need to assassinate.
Well, I don't know what the timeline is, but when was Gaddafi killed?
Would
that have been more recent to this?
Yeah, that would have been more recent. Shit.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
I was trying to remember who starred in the movie Body Double. I was desperately trying to... My brain just couldn't pull Melanie Griffith.
Is it Sandra Bullock?
No, Melanie Griffith. Come on now. So, look, once Alex says the name that he's alleging, that allure that he has, the mystique of, right. I know this name goes away. And ultimately, saying the name is going to lead to the claim being debunked, and that's going to be a little disappointing.
No, and what's most important is saying that you know the name, but
right.
You can't say the name.
Which is actually counter to all of Alex's notions about secret information.
Sure.
He says that, if
the
you know something...
The only thing that protects you
right,
is saying
you
it.
You have to say
but
it.
But I can't say this in order to protect this dead body double.
It's all so stupid. It's such a charade.
I don't want to make Osama bin Laden's family feel bad. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't say the name.
You wouldn't want that.
No, it'd be terrible.
So Alex is talking about this, the faking of the killing of bin Laden, and this leads him into thinking about other things that he thinks are fake. And so Sandy Hook comes up.
Oh, boy.
It's all fake. And yes, we don't know exactly what happened with Sandy Hook, but we got a good idea. They bulldozed it. They covered it up. Real kids were killed there, but they did have confirmed actors putting out the official story, and Bloomberg got caught in internal memos that have been leaked preparing the day before for the big push. And saying, prepare now for the news blitz. That's look it up, folks. I mean, it is incredible. And they just count on everybody's ignorance to not understand this is real. I mean, this is so horrible.
That's pretty funny. Because in the first deposition that we covered, Mark asked Alex about this Bloomberg
sure,
thing.
Of course.
And Alex said, I don't know, but I could definitely find you the source
of
on it.
Of course he can.
And in the second deposition, Mark's like, hey, you remember how you said you were going to find that source?
He said he could find it.
Can't find it.
Oh.
Doesn't seem to care.
That's
doesn't
trouble.
Exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you have an interesting presentation here because Alex is playing that sort of mid game here where he's not overtly denying all of the death,
right,
which he would do later,
right.
He would jump whole hog into that,
sure,
but at this point he is still saying that the people who put out the story, and by that he means people like Robbie Parker, I don't know if he would be including Posner in that, but maybe.
Yeah,
he is still accusing the people who are speaking on this of being actors, which is
kind of the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a strange hybrid of full-on denialism and playing it safe.
Yeah, it's like not understanding that you like, ah, see, I'm covering my ass, but with like an empty outline of a leaf.
Well, you're
and
not
it's like that's not really covering your ass. You realize
right,
that,
because
right?
It's not respecting the implications
exactly.
of the things that you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, you're still doing the thing.
If you're saying that the parents of the killed children, who are the ones who are speaking out about this,
right.
are actors, then the implication of that is their kids didn't actually
totally.
Die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, what are you saying?
Right.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Again, this is a non-middle ground area. You can't be like, listen, I know the Holocaust, but most of it was true, and only some of it wasn't true. No, you're still a Holocaust denier now.
That's
how it works.
It's very strange to see this perspective from Alex, because I don't really understand why he would... take this middle ground.
It's very weird.
So we had this next clip. It's just a caller saying something dumb.
Let's talk to Raymond in Illinois, listening on WCKG in Chicago. You're military. Are you current, or did you just get out, and what's your take on this?
No, sir. I've been out for some time now. I have a son that's in, and my comment was they are gearing up. The Masons, I live in a small town. The Masons have been having meetings quite frequently. Wisconsin, all the major roadways, they're putting gates on the overpasses, barricades.
Oh, I know this.
Well, I know this. They are getting all the kind of the insiders and all the cities ready for collapse.
Uh-oh, look out. The Masons are active.
Are the Masons the ones who put all the gates up on of our
Probably
overpasses?
Not, but it's, it, well...
I mean, literal
does
Masons.
Does it involve masonry?
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, literal Masons probably had something to do with it.
I just think it's funny to look at this and imagine, like, in the present day, someone being like, the Masons are active. They're all out there. Like, just the way that everything has spiraled from
yeah.
the sort of classical conspiracy tropes into
right.
what it is in the present day.
Ugh.
Like, it's in 2014, you might have a caller who's worried about what the Masons are up to.
Yeah, you know, that was fun. That was more fun. The Masons are the ones putting styrofoam cups in the overpasses overhead to spell out secret evil messages.
Yep.
Like, go Tigers. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense
yep.
to me.
Yep.
It doesn't get more evil than that.
Adam Weishaupt was a Tigers fan.
Exactly. That's how you know.
Yep. So here's a dumb prediction that Alex made that goes in the laundry list of bad predictions.
Every week we get more local news reports just where it leaks out where the military is training with police to take on gun owners, veterans, and billing them as terrorists in the drills where they shoot, blow up schools, release bioweapons because, quote, they're mad about the Second Amendment being repealed. And there are going to be a lot of people. I'll imagine it's going to be about 5% at first that refuse to turn their guns in openly. Most people will just quietly won't do it. I'd say half. Then they're going to start persecuting gun owners, as they're already doing. And then a civil war is going to break out. And that's what the globalists have already scripted and prepared, like a PR rollout. And, I mean, no one should want to be part of this. This is horrible. But they've got to do this to cover up the economic collapse they've engineered so they don't get in trouble. This is a plan, folks, and we're just getting so close to it.
That's so stupid. Like, look at the conception Alex has here, and ask yourself if any of this has happened or even come close to happening. This show was recorded 8 years ago, and none of this stuff that Alex is claiming is all part of the globalists' plans. They have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's come to pass. There's been no gun confiscation. Mm-hmm. There's been no need for patriots to resist turning in their guns.
Nope.
There's been no civil war incited over gun confiscation. Also, look at this shit that Alex is unraveling as the grand plan of the globalists. It's grounded in reality to the point where a non-insane person could buy into this. They're really rich, bad people who've committed giant financial crimes, and they don't want to get in trouble for them, so they're engaging in comically elaborate plots to cover their tracks.
Right.
This is dumb, if only because a civil war would almost immediately wipe out whatever financial gains these people made by way of their crimes, but you can see this as a detective-style conspiracy. There's no supernatural elements, there's no devil working behind the scenes, there's no prophetic visions, there's no battle between good and evil where the goal is ascending to the stars. This is about using half-cooked ideas to defend a destructive political ideology that Alex wants to push. This, like the Mason caller, it seems so foreign to Alex's present-day content where everything's about demons and how everyone who disagrees with him is a pedophile.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's quick. It's quick.
Yeah.
This change.
Yeah. But that, you know, a lot of people's brains have just been fucking broken by this shit, man.
Mm.
I think we're at the point now where we, like, people are just busted up, you know? Like, so any number of people who have previously had at least somewhat rational stances are now out and out, long gone.
I understand that a lot of people have been, maybe by degrees or maybe by leaps and bounds,
sure,
gone into areas that are really irrational. I understand that. I think it's a little different for Alex.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I don't know.
I mean, on the other hand, you know, when your brain's already that broken, what happens whenever it breaks again? It just keeps, he's gone weirder. It hasn't fixed him if it would be great if the worst thing that's happened to human beings while we're alive would have been like a fucking frying pan to the forehead in a cartoon and he'd wake up and be like, holy shit, it's time to fix it. I can finally see, you know, like that kind of thing.
Get El Kabonged.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I
didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No,
just went further.
Just got weirder.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of weirdos.
But David Icke joins us, one of the most controversial
Turned
guests
the punch
you can
bowl.
Have on. And we're always honored to have him. I've had a chance to hang out with him over the years, get to know him. He's a really real guy. People ask, is David Icke for real? Yes, he's for real. Is he right about everything? I don't think any of us are right about everything because we see through rose-colored glasses. You know, the distortion of our senses in the time-space continuum. But
sure.
So much is happening. The Great Awakening is happening that he said 20 years ago he thought would begin around 2014.
Oh, man, what an amazing prediction David Icke totally made, which totally came true.
Yep.
Whatever. So weird. Also to see that the Great Awakening is happening in full force in 2014.
Already.
That Alex is currently in 2022 yelling about how the Great Awakening is beginning in response to COVID restrictions.
Right.
It's almost like the idea of a Great Awakening happening is just a consistent element of people like Alex and David Icke's branding, and it's so vague of an idea that it can just be trotted out whenever you want to create the image that your side is secretly winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool stuff, and not at all the sign of shithead manipulators.
I think there's a real, like, solid narrative arc that could be made out of just Alex's David Icke intros.
Mm.
Like, throughout his career, like, there's a real, I think there's some pathos in there.
I doubt it.
Because we've got some moments where he's like, I hate the guy. And then moments where he's sorry that he's not, like, and
but
then
I don't
later
think Alex
on,
was having him on when he didn't like him.
Sure. That's true.
Yeah.
Couldn't do intros just.
No.
You'd have to make it out of just his like, overall.
Look, I do think that there's a real downward trajectory that you can see of Alex being like, I have to differentiate myself from this guy who's clearly insane, to being like, fuck it, he's got a big audience, I'm going to warm up to him, and try and keep my distance by being like, well, is he right about everything? No, but he's right about some things. And then now, finally, like, I'm just going to steal wholesale most of his shit.
100%.
It's like, kind of pathetic.
It is like a one of those XY graph memes where it's just slowly all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yup.
Brutal.
Eh.
What an asshole.
Who cares?
Eh, that's a good point.
So here's a dumb story that Alex is reporting.
Love it.
They're all over the news, adding deadly chemicals to everything on purpose to brain damages. Their own documents are public by the White House science czar, John P. Holdren, in his own book, Eco-Science. DNA results for the Nephilim skulls, mainstream news.
I'm sorry, what now?
Weird Peruvian skulls and say it's a new form of humans. I mean, this is all just getting insane. And more is going to happen. More and more is going to be revealed. And people are going to get deeper into the matrix and lies and false reality at the same time as others become more awakened.
So that isn't in John P. Holdren's book, Eco-Science. There's no documents proving the fucking shit in the water to make people dumb.
It would be a bad idea to put that in your book.
Yeah, Alex is making that up because he knows his audience isn't going to read a textbook to check up on his claim.
Yeah.
I like the introduction of Nephilim skulls, though. That's pretty exciting. So what's going on here is that UFO and conspiracy message boards have been circulating images of these skulls that were found in the Paracas region in Peru,
mm-hmm.
and just making up that DNA testing had been done on them and showed that they weren't human.
Well, I mean, the first one was recovered by Indiana Jones.
It's true. It was crystal.
Yeah.
A lot of folks just accepted the claims of the DNA testing and stuff at face value, like Alex is, because the skulls were elongated and slightly conical in nature. It made them look possibly alien.
Right.
In the real world, the skulls had that appearance because they were from members of a community that practiced artificial cranial deformation. This is achieved by exerting force on a child's skull before it fully hardens, and there's a number of theories as to why people did this, ranging from ideas about beauty to the promotion of in-group cohesion.
Sure.
Whatever the motivation, what's going on here is that Alex saw a meme that made a completely fake claim that DNA had, testing had been done that proved these skulls had extraterrestrial origins, and he did literally no work past that point before turning it around and repeating it to his audience as fact that things are going crazy. And not only that, he seems to be implying that the act of accepting that these skulls are alien Nephilim is somehow a sign of being awake, which is just pathetic. Hopefully, David Icke sets him straight on some of this stuff.
I like the idea that there are times whenever conspiracy and reality can just be so far apart. Like, here's how far apart it could be. They could be aliens. They could be Nephilim from the Bible. Or it could have been some people a while back who just thought it looked hot.
Can I?
Very simple explanation.
Can I give you a quick correction? The Nephilim would still kind of be aliens because they're the
fine.
The offspring of demons and
fine
and human women.
I'll accept that.
Yeah, you have to.
I'll accept it.
I hate to be a nitpicker,
but I hate
to
be that guy.
So when we were talking here a little bit about the trajectory of Alex's relationship with David Icke,
mm-hmm.
I think when you're listening to this episode, it becomes painfully clear that, like, all right, Alex isn't really talking about demons so much in these past episodes.
But they're there.
Well, a little bit. But also, David Icke is full-on future Alex.
Oh, shit.
The rabbit hole is so deep that if we're only looking at things like banking scams and engineered wars and engineered terrorist attacks, etc., which is very, very important to expose, but we're still walking around the edge of the rabbit hole. This is so deep. And we have to, I would suggest, open our minds to the fact that there are forces at work in the unseen, which Christians call demons, which Islamic believers call jinn, which other people call archons, other people call flyers in Central America, the shaman. There is an unseen force manipulating this.
Oh, man. It's not just really rich people who want to cover up their financial scams by taking away guns in order to prompt gun owners to start shooting at them and then cause a civil war and everyone will forget about the financial crimes. There's right. unseen demons, jinns, and archons.
Right.
See, this is just Alex in the future, his point. And Alex is, I want to play this next clip really quick
before you respond.
Because Alex isn't really fully like, yeah, fuck yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
But he also is making it okay for the audience to entertain these ideas.
Mm-hmm. And David Icke joined us. He was getting to the key point there. And he's been talking about this 20 years, folks, saying they wanted to hack the brain, create a false neural system, take over. Now, people say, well, he says it's entities in another dimension doing this. That sounds crazy. What does every culture say? Regardless of whether those entities are real or not, or that's some archetypal manifestation through people, I've been to Bohemian Grove. I've covered Skull and Bones. I know elitists. I grew up in the richest county in Texas where all the rich people were basically devil worshipers. We had to leave the town because of it. Okay? I mean, it was unbelievable. The stuff they tried to induct me into. I've seen stuff by the time I was 14 that most people never even imagined.
That's not why you had to leave that town.
No.
But yeah, you can kind of see this like, yeah, accept the narrative even if you don't believe in demons.
Right, right.
Like the idea is there, and like maybe it's not demons. Maybe it's just people who are tricking themselves into thinking they're demons.
However you got to get there, man, you get there.
Right.
That's what he's looking for.
He's greasing the skids in order for people to get down into this while at the same time trying to pretend that like, hey, I'm not the one saying there's demons, because then it looks really bad, but I'll wait a few years and then I'll do it.
You know, I think it's so weird and funny and like kind of strange that these types of people, one of their arguments is like, look, there have been things like this that have popped up in every human civilization. That means that humans must have contact with it somewhere in our memories or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to people to just be like, no, shitheads like Alex Jones and David Icke and those people have been around since the very beginning claiming that demons are the reason behind all of your fucking problems.
There is a lot of that. Yeah.
They've, mm-hmm. These assholes have been there since the jump, man.
Yeah. And even so, the ones in the present day are misrepresenting a lot of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And so they're bad sources of information, even about the shitheads from the past.
They're from the past who are bad sources about information.
Yeah, it's a hat on a hat.
It's so stupid.
Are dumb.
It is like we haven't. We went backwards in learning about things.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So how much do you know about brainwave frequencies?
I know there are three. There's up, down, and left.
That's correct.
Thank you.
The human brainwave activity operates at a certain frequency band. If you can access that frequency band with information delivered electromagnetically and electrically, then you are putting thoughts and perceptions and beliefs, perceptions of reality into that system, and the person is having thoughts and feelings and coming to conclusions that they think are their own conclusions, but they're not. And anything that's got smart in front of it is part of that grid.
Beware the smartphone. So this is really scary, because I think that David Icke thinks that the human brainwave frequencies are just like radio stations.
Yeah.
Like your brain is on 106.1, and if the government just broadcasts something on that frequency, they're going to brain control you.
That'll happen.
There are some problems with this idea, just starting from a functional perspective. Like, is David Icke saying that all human brains are on the same frequency, or is it different for each person? If it's different for each person, then I don't know if there's that many frequency bands available, quite frankly.
I mean, you just get smaller and smaller numbers.
But if we're all the same, then it would really be impossible to fine-tune mind control, and you'd really only be able to do population-level brainwashing with this.
Right.
But then you'd be brainwashing some of the people who are in on your scam and your plans. So they probably need a metallic moldable
and
hat
any
of some
time
sort.
You're
maybe
dealing with that
aluminum.
Number of people, you got to plan for a failure or a backfire on some, you know.
Right.
It's sure, like, it works on 90% of people, but 10% go even crazier.
It's like they live.
Yeah, absolutely like they live.
Now, the larger problem is that David is completely misunderstanding what brain waves are. Your brain doesn't have a set frequency that it operates at necessarily. You know, that number changes quite a bit depending on what mental state you're in. For instance, if your brain's working at about 0.5 to 4 hertz when you're asleep and in delta waves, whereas if you're in a state of high concentration, your brain might be in gamma waves at over 35 hertz. This is just really stupid. I don't even know what he's saying. And conceptually, it doesn't even...
Neither does he. He doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care about alpha, beta, gamma waves. He doesn't give a shit.
No.
Absolutely not.
He just thinks that there's this number.
Yeah.
If it just tune it to the right thing.
Totally.
It just put thoughts in your brain.
David Icke should have any sufficiently misunderstandable technology is the same as demons.
Yeah.
You know, like he should just make it up. Make up his anti-Sagan quote.
Or just say Archon.
Or Feynman or whatever, whoever it was.
So there's another...
No, it was not Feynman. It was a... God damn it. I'm so mad. We can't continue this.
We have
until
to.
I remember the name of the guy who said... Oh,
Carl Sagan wrote The Demon Haunted World.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
No. The guy who said any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from Clark. Arthur C. Clarke. Thank you.
Shakespeare.
Thank you.
Clark Shakespeare.
All right.
So there's this really strange thing that David Icke and Alex get into, and it's really contrary to anything that we would know from the present day, and that is that Hollywood is maybe not as bad.
You know a lot of famous people. I know a lot of famous people. Most of them do not have the courage to go public. Most big Hollywood stars, A-list, most big producers I know, 95% of them won't come on air. But a lot of them have come on air. And in Hollywood, it's not liberal or conservative. They're listening to you. They're listening to me. They're all awake. They hate the old shadowy producers, Sumner Redstone and others, that won't let them tell the truth. There's a revolution going on in Hollywood, and I see it in the new Lego movie and the new Nut Job movie, anti-establishment, how they want to program us, and that's not propaganda.
So that was where my Mandela effect was. I thought that the Nut Job came out much more recently than 2014. I don't know why, but I had a dead set in my mind. It was like 2019 or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't 2014.
Nope. Wow.
The Nut Job.
Lego movie's old now, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just thinking that, like, whoa, the Lego movie isn't government-run propaganda.
Apparently.
And it's been so long since I've thought that about a movie.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's the Lego movie.
And it's proof Hollywood.
It's a revolution going on.
It's very exciting.
Has Guardians of the Galaxy come out yet?
I
feel like
know.
It has in 2014.
Let me look it up.
Seven million years
of
Marvel.
Came out in 2005.
You son of a bitch.
Opened opposite.
I want
to...
the world to know he did not actually look it up.
People are going
to hate that. They're going to be like, you stop eating.
See, I'm not sure what year that was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was fairly close to that.
It has to be.
But yeah, Alex is he was not in Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
That was a bit of a lie. But that would have probably been even further proof that Hollywood was waking up. If they would cast Alex as a hero, spaceman.
That's what I was thinking.
So yeah, apparently Hollywood, pretty good.
I'm saying we are on the edge of winning because this isn't fake. Almost everyone in Hollywood, I've now learned, is a listener of this show. And I'll talk about you as well. And I'm not on a power trip over that. This is the main enemy brainwashing base, and we... by the grace of the creator and human consciousness and everything, and our listeners, we've not infiltrated them. They are in the programming system. They know the truth better than us. They're absolutely freaking out. The military's waking up because they're decompartmentalized with our information. This is incredible. So what do you want to say about that? Because I want to be clear, Hollywood is on the verge of a huge awakening and a revolution against the old guys that control it. David Icke.
I have really bad news for Alex about where he's going to be in a few years about Hollywood.
It's
revolution
gonna go, it's
did
gonna go
not
down.
Did not go.
Who does he think isn't like listening to InfoWars? Who's leading the underground resistance against the rest of Hollywood?
Sumner Redstone. Very specific pull on Alex's part.
That was such a weird pull.
Yeah.
All right.
Did Ted Nugent have a show on what was Sumner Redstone? Is it Fox? Is he on Fox?
I think it was Fox.
I don't fucking know any of these studio systems.
Me neither. Adam McKay is still around.
he probably was.
Yeah, he's fighting InfoWars.
InfoWars. I think that there's obviously something that is very clearly specific that Alex is talking about, but I just got no idea. Sumner Redstone was Viacom.
Ah,
so he was in charge of Viacom.
Sure.
So yeah, maybe Ted Nugent had a show. I can't. Who are the other stars that talk to Alex?
Clint Eastwood.
Peter Stormare. I mean, there's musicians.
Charlie Sheen.
Sure, Sheen.
Sure. Sheen's there.
Yeah.
Martin Sheen listens to.
No.
Yeah, he said that Martin Sheen and Charlie Sheen.
Belzer.
Belzer for sure.
We got Belzer.
The Belzer's in there.
You got Dave Mustaine.
Right.
You got
absolutely.
Billy Corgan.
The highest of the high in music.
Unfortunately, Rowdy Roddy Piper did come on before he died.
Yeah, but he was in They Live, so he gets a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, Val Venus, the wrestler
Val Venus.
He did an interview with Dan Bondi one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it about how one time they had a storyline where Japanese people were going to cut off his penis?
That didn't come up, I don't think.
It didn't come up? That's the only thing that I will ever be able to think about anytime you say his name.
We did do an episode about that. I did that one with Marty.
Yes.
That has been covered. the Val Venus episode.
Right. He was much better prepared to handle it than I was.
I don't believe that Alex even thinks that Hollywood is waking up.
No, absolutely
I don't know what this
not.
Is.
No way.
This is so dumb.
No way could he possibly think this.
So dumb. So Alex is kind of wishy-washy a little bit about the devil.
It is unbelievable. And they talk about the earth, how they want to save it all day. All they want to do is kill, steal, and destroy. And you say, oh, that's the Bible.
What's
whatever
the
it is, it's happening. And I'm not sitting here and go to these churches and find the truth. That's where the devil lives, is these big churches. Even if the devil isn't physically real or some dimensional entity, it doesn't matter. It's an archetype in humans manifesting in every culture and every time. But now, we can't have black pyramids they're sacrificing kids to every day, and then the culture gets so bad it collapses, people go back into the bushes and, you know, recongregate and create civilization again.
That is unfortunate.
Now they have all the weapon systems.
Ooh.
Now there's all this technocracy and everything, and it could be like Atlantis any day. You know, the legend of Atlantis where the whole island blows up because they, you know, release some technology. Sounds like a hydrogen bomb. I mean, we don't know what's really going on this planet. I mean, I'll tell you that right now. There's a lot of stuff going on here that we really don't know, but the Illuminati claim they do know it. And I think they do know, folks. The Alexandria Library, they've proven to not really burn. They got a bunch of it out and then burned it. And they know the real histories, and they're using this, and they're using it to cheat so they can run everything. And it's horrible.
Yeah, man.
So the Illuminati.
Right. That started in 1776 with Adam Weishaupt.
Took the books from Alexandria?
Which was pre-1776.
It was wildly before 1776.
Had to do with Caesar.
It was a long way back. A tad far in the past.
Yeah. I mean, one thing Alex is right about is the myth of the Library of Alexandria burning and everything being lost.
That
isn't fully accurate. There was a fire,
sure.
But it was after the point at which it was already kind of in... It had reached... it was on the downswing of relevance, let's say, in the sort of ancient world.
Sure. It was no longer the repository for all knowledge.
No, but that idea is really fun.
It's great. Isn't it amazing to think of a repository for all human knowledge burning down?
Yeah, it kind of gives a nice narrative reason why we don't know some things.
Can't know anything in the past.
Sure. That's fine. I don't think the globalists stole all that secret information.
I doubt it.
And now are able to control things because of it.
Yeah.
And do magic.
I also don't believe that the Atlanteans set off an atomic bomb.
No. No. Even as someone who has a passion for Atlantis like I do, I do not think it existed.
No.
Much less was it destroyed by a nuclear bomb. That said, I think that the way Alex is describing the devil here is a bit more responsible. In terms of like, hey, maybe it's not a real physical being or a transdimensional being, but it's just my artful metaphorical way to describe that people are bad.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Fine.
Right. You know, but then... yeah, it gets a little boring to just say that he's a metaphor, man.
Right.
He's got to start spicing it up a little
bit. Put some meat on that devil's bones.
Yeah, now the devil's preparing to fight Hank Williams Jr. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Bo Cephas. So we have another guest who shows up. David Icke takes his leave.
Okay.
And this guest, I was shocked to see.
It's absolutely horrible. Now, for the balance of the hour, we're joined here by Dr. Ed Group, globalhealingcenter.com. I'm not going to go through all his laurels and titles and the rest of it, but he has a lot of gravitas, and he's not here to do a big InfoWarsLife.com pitch today, though that is how we fund our operation. We've got a 15% off Super Male Vitality.
I have to say, that usually isn't true when Alex says he's not here to do a big infomercial.
Yeah.
He usually is there to do a big infomercial.
That's his job.
In this case, he kind of wasn't.
Okay.
They did do a lot of talking about Alex's product,
sure,
but it was
Dr.
clear
Group.
That there was another point, which I found interesting.
All right.
Now, we've talked about Dr. Group a bunch in the past, and so we don't need to go into his entire dirty dossier here.
No.
But the reason that Alex isn't reading off all his credentials is because they're all fake.
there is that problem.
Yes. He does not have a lot of gravitas.
Nope.
He has a long resume full of fake credentials and degrees that he's purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex probably doesn't want to dwell on that too much.
Yeah, you don't want to list a number of... I mean, unless you were getting a cut from the fake schools... Then you'd be
then Dr. Group would want you to.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if Alex is getting a cut from the fake
exactly.
school.
Exactly. Yes. He purchased this degree. He purchased that degree.
So it's not an infomercial, but Alex does talk a little bit about Super Male Vitality, and I'll say I'm not sold on it.
When you come out with a female one, it's the exact same thing as a gimmick, folks. It even works better for women.
Why are you telling us this?
We're going to tweak it a little bit and have one for women so they feel like it's like a pink package instead of a blue package. I mean, whatever. The point is, women, and we didn't put it out as an aphrodisiac. It just so happens that that's what these super herbs do also do that as well. And I'll be honest, people, I only take half the dose because I already have anger issues. Sometimes it smooths me out. Sometimes I get a little, I mean, I took some yesterday. I was bouncing off walls, folks, even though I had about 5 hours sleep. So Dr. Group joins us.
Wow, that is not a ringing endorsement for whatever this pill is.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing it like you're injecting me with bull semen. Like, oh, shit, man, I'm fucking ready to go!
I can't take this because I have anger issues.
That's not good!
Also, I don't like the selling of this pill on, like, you know what? The effects are unpredictable.
Hey,
sometimes it mellows me out. Sometimes I freak out.
Hey, it's entirely possible. This is 100% a placebo, and I am making this all up for my own benefit. Otherwise, I would have to confront the fact that my products do nothing.
Because it seems really strange that the substance would have, like, completely contrary...
When people sell you a pill or a drink or something, and then you ask them what it does, and then they're like, what do you think it does?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just agree with you, it doesn't do that.
It doesn't
do any of it.
It might.
It doesn't do
But don't take it if you have anger
Don't
issues.
Take it all.
So here's the reason that Dr. Group is on.
Now, Dr. Group, I wanted to get you in there a few weeks ago. You said, I'm not ready. I want to do some more research and get something ready for people and talk about the top five health secrets. We're going to cover all five of them here, but you just take Bagucciardi, Anthony.
Welcome back to Cracked.com.
Five separate parts to air the next 5 weeks on the Nightly News where you go in-depth. But let's get into the top five health secrets.
Now, knowing what I know about Dr. Group in the present day,
right.
I would expect that one of these would be drink your piss.
It would have to be.
Because he's a piss doctor.
He's a piss doctor now.
Yes.
He's there.
He is big into urine therapy.
Top five...
You'd think that it might crack the top five.
It would have to. It's his main job now.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
No piss.
Oh.
So I want to see, maybe...
It was a different time back then. You couldn't just be a piss doctor.
Maybe you should try and guess what they are.
Oh, shit.
Wait, but that's... I mean, guess five of them.
I mean, the problem is one of them should be exercise.
It's not.
Of course not. Of course not.
No.
The other one should be eating healthy.
Spoiler alert, that's probably one.
Oh, okay. Then the other three are probably fake bullshit.
Well, it's not that. It's just they're trite as fuck.
Oh, of course.
My health secret number one is drink clean water. I mean, we've talked about, you talk about, everybody knows that the water's contaminated everywhere with fluoride, arsenic, chlorine. I mean, the list goes on. All the medications in the water right now, the radiation in the water from Fukushima. So,
look, your definition of clean water is dumb, but the idea of you should drink clean water is
right.
Obviously the most...
Don't
banal,
drink poison. Zero poisons. Uh-huh. That seems easy.
His advice is to drink distilled water with apple cider vinegar poured in it.
Well, no, but clean water's fine.
Yes, yes. I do also like the...
Tap water's fine.
I like the idea that he's supposed to be a doctor, and it took him weeks of research to come up with this list where the number one thing is drink water.
Okay. Well, that one he knocked out in a day. Is the rest of them that were killing him.
I'm not sure. Here's the second one.
Okay.
The doctor group continuing here, so... Drink clean water, very extreme. Breathe clean air, that's number two. Health
All right.
secret number two.
Okay.
On my birthday today, you gave me an air purifier for your studio. You're so evil.
So actually, I have to correct myself. His birthday comes up twice.
Yes.
That's one time,
right.
And then the other time, David Icke wishes him a happy birthday.
Of course. Yeah.
So,
well, it's just polite.
Yeah. But Alex actually seemed a little put off by it.
Well, he's turning 40.
Yeah.
You know.
But David Icke saved it. He's like, I'm 60-something. You're a little boy.
You're a young spring chicken, you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first two he knocked out in
clean
a day.
Clean water, clean air.
That's, I mean, for somebody who is directly working with the man... Maybe more vehemently trying to destroy our water and air.
Hey, yeah, let's talk regulations, buddy.
Right?
Protect.
Hey, listen, drink clean water. Obviously, I'm working together with Alex to make sure it goes away.
We will destroy the EPA.
Breathe clean air. Yeah. Obviously, I'm working with Alex to make sure that there are no regulations to clean your air.
Yeah, you need to drink clean water and breathe clean air, but we have a political set. That will like a policy set that want to make it intensely expensive for you to be able to access clean water or clean air.
It does seem like his health secrets are like, just leave the United States completely. Mm. You're not going to get this shit here.
And by the way, maybe nowhere because air doesn't respect governmental boundaries.
Yeah.
So we take a little breaky in the list of the top five health things.
Okay.
Because Alex wants to know about like, hey, Dr. Group, hey, Ed. How'd you wake up? What was your waking up story?
I bought it. I bought awakening.
This is such bullshit.
When did you wake up?
I actually woke up to it in a weird way because I had studied pharmaceuticals and everything, and I was kind of brainwashed into calling everybody else a quack until I met somebody. Originally, I wanted to be a medical doctor and be a heart surgeon. That was
my dream.
And that's what I was studying, and I was brainwashed. I met a guy that was treating cancer naturally. And we kind of got into a little argument, you know, I was brainwashed to think that natural medicine was all quackery and stuff like that. And he looked at me, he said, he knew I had a background in chemistry and biochemistry. And he said, fine, I'm not going to argue with you. Pick any prescription drug you want and tell me how that does any good on the body. I said, all right, that's not a problem at all. I mean, we wouldn't have prescription drugs if they weren't good for us. So I went to the library, brought out all the biochemical books, chemical books, took a couple prescription medications, broke them down chemistry-wise, looked at how they work on the body, and in about 2 hours, that was my wake-up call. That's when just, like, everything opened up. I saw it. I had, like, a vision, and I saw the damage that was being done worldwide with pharmaceuticals that they're not designed to do anything but cover up a symptom.
None of that's true or real.
Nope.
Dr. Group may or may not have finished getting an undergraduate degree from Southern Louisiana University, which doesn't even have a pre-med track for students to study.
Right.
So it seems unlikely he really was on his way to becoming a heart surgeon or that he had any formal training in pharmacology. After this, he went to Texas Chiropractic College, where he got a degree as a chiropractor. The rest of his degrees are fake degrees that he's paid for, generally ones that are available correspondence.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll give you a degree.
I will send you a check.
Dr. Group doesn't know shit, and the stuff that he's saying is really dangerous. There are so many prescription medications that are critically important for people dealing with a wide range of conditions. Just because Big Pharma is so detestable and because there are problems with doctors overprescribing some things, that's not a cause to pretend that literally no medication does anything.
Yeah.
Plus, this is a guy who wants you to drink piss. In his mind, drinking piss has more medicinal benefit than any prescription medication ever produced. That's Alex's expert.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it right there.
I always try to resist the urge to like make fun of how somebody talks, you know, because there's some regional dialects that are maligned and what have you. Mm. But there's a part of Dr. Group that doesn't really sound like, you know, like a Southern person from like Louisiana.
No.
He sounds like a surfery idiot.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
Yeah, totally.
And then you realize that he is a piss doctor who doesn't believe in medications.
So he is a surfer idiot.
it's just outrageous.
You know what's crazy?
And it took him 2 hours to figure out that medications aren't real.
Don't even stare at me with that. It is fun how rehearsed his origin speech is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this happened to me. I went to, when I was doing the hearing aid thing, the dude, Bill Austin, I think his name is, the dude who
Stone
owned,
Cold Bill Austin?
Who owned and created Starkey or whatever. He was doing this whole big ass, like, corporate speech about this origin story. And you can hear it in that tone of, like, oh, this is all bullshit. Mm-hmm. You're fucking, because it can't be like, I made this company because I wanted to make a shit ton of money, and Alex, you are helping me make money.
Yeah.
It has to be like I saw a problem with the market that only my ingenuity could solve.
I recognize that I really didn't have the chops to be a real doctor, and so I took the road that I did, and I figured out that there's a gigantic market in supplements.
Totally.
Completely unregulated.
100%.
And I get to call myself a doctor because I am a chiropractor, and hey...
Do you know how long it takes to become a medical doctor and how much work it is?
Yeah, and how you probably wouldn't pass if you tried to write a paper on how medications don't do anything.
Totally.
Probably would fail.
Yeah, and you'd be really in trouble if you started describing this product that you wanted that maybe had an effect where you got anger issues, issue where you were fucking rock hard all the goddamn time.
Well, but then also, like, I think you'd have to go to a college for your undergraduate that had a pre-med thing. I mean, like, you'd also need to do that.
Yeah.
I had sort of forgotten the experience of listening to Dr. Krupp. to have him pop up again was upsetting. Uh-oh. So anyway, Alex wants to know about his dad, because as you recall,
yes,
Dr. Krupp, his hero's backstory, not only has to do with this.
That's right. I forgot.
His dad, Dr. Krupp, his life's work is undoing the evils of his dad because his dad invented saran wrap.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
He is on a one-man crusade to undo the evils of his father.
Right. Because he was in plastics and invented saran wrap, which has been so toxic.
Just destroyed the world.
And so he talks about that a little bit here.
Yeah, I can talk about my dad on air. Sure.
Tell people briefly about him.
My dad was a chemist. He was one of the top chemists for Exxon, actually, and he did his dissertation or for his PhD.
Yeah, we looked him up. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, so
is it amazing or is it evil?
He was a co-inventor of saran wrap, and he was like the leading guy and the leading chemist on plastics. I mean, he was the one that was going around teaching and lecturing about how plasticizers, epoxy resins, anything that had to do with plastics.
Real quick, the person who invented saran wrap in the real world worked for Dow Chemical.
Right.
And it was
not Exxon.
And it wasn't Dr. Group's dad.
Yeah. That would be an issue for normal
chefs. He actually worked for the government. I don't know what he was doing when the Reagan administration. I know he was involved with the drug war, putting something in the chemicals they were using to make cocaine with.
What?
And recently, I know when he died, it was a very fast death, and I was always wondering because I remember a group of people that all these guys showed up in my mom's house with these documents and like forcing her to sign this stuff.
I'm gonna miss you, Dad.
And he was dead within throat cancer and spinal cancer, and he was dead within 2 weeks. And I was like, how does that happen? You know, and at that point in time, they just offered her a bunch of money. My mom, it wasn't a bunch of money. I think it was like $120,000 or something like that. She signed up off all these documents. All of his records were sealed. In other words, through Exxon, nobody could get access to him. I found out only about 6 months ago that he was about to go public right before he died with reversing all of his original research, because this whole time I'm thinking, oh my gosh,
he
I
was
going to
do everything
involved in plastics, and now I'm trying to clean up all this stuff. It's really weird how that works, but I just found out that he was about to publish a bunch of reports on the damaging effects of plastics.
Just found that out. So he does theorize that they offed him the big saran wrap off him.
Obviously, big saran wrap off his dad.
They killed
There's
him.
There's no other
so
explanation.
He couldn't go public, but somehow Dr. Group found these documents.
Sure. Naturally.
That he must have prepared.
Well, it was in the attic. You
right.
know,
no, he's... but like he, there had to, like, the, Dr. Group should be able to provide this research.
Oh, boy.
If he's found the evidence of it or whatever. And I
assume if you were about to go public with it, you've probably got it somewhere in a readable format.
Well, unfortunately, the people who killed him made his mom sign papers and then put all of that under wraps. Saran wraps.
Brutal. I'm not going to reward that.
This is fun. But it's so dumb.
Yes.
It's so dumb. Like, he's got this stupid doctor, fake doctor, on here who's got this fun, heroic backstory. And now adding the wrinkle that his dad was about to go public and maybe he was murdered.
Of course.
Is so good.
I know, but here's the problem I have with this. I find this so much less believable than fucking... Captain Mark Richards' backstory with his dad, where his dad met fucking Churchill and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is such bullshit.
I find them to be about equivalent.
Yeah, well, let's say that.
Except for Mark Richards' one involves aliens.
Yeah. Well, this one might as well.
It could. He's deeply involved in the drug war, putting something in cocaine.
Yeah, he's contaminating fake cocaine that the government is making. Yeah, he might as well be from aliens. Yeah.
I mean, there's the, you know, I wonder also if, like, the research that he found that his dad was about to put out was everyone needs to drink their own piss. If that was the information that he found that his dad was going to go public with. All right, so now we get back to the health secrets. Health secret number three.
Oh, that's right.
That is health secret number three, which is
kill your dad.
Eat clean food. I mean, we know the food is contaminated. It's another eugenics system.
So we got drink clean water, breathe clean air.
All right.
Eat clean food.
Okay, so the first three he knocked out in a day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the ones that took another week or two?
I don't know if four did.
Now, moving right along to number four, reduce your stress levels. Well, this is one I can follow.
Okay.
All right. Top four knocked out in a day. All right. The fifth one must have been impossible to come up with.
Well, I don't know. I think the fifth one is so vague as to be meaningless.
Okay. We hit reduce your stress levels. What about secret number five? Cleanse your body and environment. This is the big one.
Cleanse
That's
your body.
That's the same thing as the first four.
No, because this is like take a shower.
Okay. Fine. Yeah.
I think it's like cleansing your body also is like take my detoxing supplements.
Yeah.
And drink piss. Of course.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's not a compelling top five.
No.
I mean, it's a good top five, relatively speaking, for where this information is coming from.
Right.
These are 100% followable steps.
Except for the fact that, like, okay, this is all trite advice.
Right.
Reduce your stress level, eat good food, drink clean water,
smart,
breathe air.
Makes sense.
All of this is fine, but, like, obviously the eat clean food is like all kinds of rampant anti-GMO stuff. And what he tells you not to eat corn and soy-based products.
Yeah, no, baked within all of these very trite observations are like, and if you eat processed wheat, you will be killed by aliens.
The
you
drink
know?
Clean
like,
water is great. That's a great suggestion, but he wants you to drink distilled water with apple cider vinegar in
it. Right.
Because the tap water will make you dumb.
You know, I mean, if you have been drinking distilled water with apple cider vinegar in it for a long time, piss is not that different.
You might be onto something.
I think you could make the lateral move to piss no problem.
So, you know, you got to drink distilled water with apple cider vinegar, but the key is to make it like body temperature.
You know what I found out? I was looking at the toilet the other day and I was drinking a nice tall glass of distilled water with the apple cider vinegar in it, and I thought I could pour one of these into the other and no one would know.
Yeah. Yep. I don't want to gross anybody out like as we close this episode, because we're done with the clips.
We're done with the clips.
But there was a video of Dr. Group getting interviewed about his urine therapy stuff. And he has a mug that, like, anybody else, I would think it was coffee. But because he's talking about drinking your piss, He's sitting there getting interviewed. It's like, God, no, no.
It's
upsetting.
I genuinely want somebody to be like, and today we have Dr. Group we're interviewing, and then cut to that meme video of the baby ape peeing into his own mouth, sure, and being like, yeah, you nailed it, buddy.
We might be making too much of a meal out of the fact that Dr. Group became a pee doctor.
Yeah, I think the problem is he's, fuck him. And it's been a while since we've talked about him in real depth.
Right,
you know?
And I think that we've already covered so much of the ground that's like really more substantial about his story in past episodes.
It would feel
really redundant to go over it. And one thing we haven't really talked about when he's been on, because it wasn't the case.
It wasn't the case.
Back then,
yeah.
Is that he likes pee.
Yeah, totally.
So anyway.
So we got Dr. Group, drink your own pee.
Right.
We got the Health Ranger, drink Ebola.
Uh-huh.
Both of these people, drink clean water people.
Uh-huh. And just fucking top of their game experts. Reliable.
Lot of gravitas.
So much.
Lot of gravitas.
So we come to the end of this 40th birthday episode for Alex. And, oh, man, what a way to celebrate. Dr. Group coming in.
That's the big
4-0. David Icke.
That's the big 4-0. You gotta celebrate it in style.
Talking about alien skulls and the Nephilim. Fake stories about Fort Hood.
You know, it's fun.
What a load of shit.
For your 40th birthday,
uh-huh,
we are going to recreate this exact show,
oh, God,
word for word. I'm going to give you a script. We're going to hire people to, you know, we'll get Drufke to play Dr. Group. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's not do this.
Let's not do that?
You
don't want to do a staged reading of an InfoWars episode?
I'm getting overwhelmed about the possibility of being 40 and talking about Alex Jones
still.
Which is possibly my future. But anyway. Happy birthday, Laurel.
Happy birthday.
Hope you had a good one. Or have a good one since this is coming out.
This will be soon.
And, your birthday is next week. We'll be back, but we'll talk about what Alex Jones gets up to when he gets back to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, Jordan, we have a website.
Do we have a website?
We
do. KnowledgeFight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight. Now go to bed, Jordan.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Dr. Marbles.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.